Yeah, g'day everyone, and welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. We are here to recap everything we've just seen. That was NRL round 13. It was a short round with everyone's focus being on State of Origin at this time of year. So we'll keep that in mind with this recap, of course. With that being said, though, let me hand over to my co-host Winnie to say g'day and recap all of our betting action from the round. How are you going, mate?
Not bad, thanks, mate. I spent today in Rugby League Heartland out with the family at Redcliffe, which was very nice, repping my Finns gear, and I saw plenty of Finns apparel out there. I'm also shook from what happened in the NBA today. If you know about that, you know, right? But there were five games of NRL that took place. We got to talk about them really quickly. Well, of course, all everyone cares about is Origin, and we can tell you guys right now, Origin 1 live preview with custom markets will be on your screens Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m.
Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. We're looking forward to that. And our best bets, how do we go this week? Were we up, down? How are we looking?
Well, down, because I combined best bets with mixed matchups. And in the end, we essentially had 2.5 units on the Warriors. I'll explain. We went 1-1 on our best bets. Warriors laying 7.5. They didn't win. And we're going to get into that one. And so occasionally, I hate to say, oh, I wish I didn't play that. This is definitely not the case. That's the type of bet I'm always going to make. I was really surprised at that result. I felt really confident in that one. We won the best bet, either team 1-10. Canberra and Souths was a back and forth clash, 7-point margin in the end, and that extended a little late. So we won that. And we needed the Warriors to win by more than 7 to win the mixed matchup. But as I said before, they didn't. So it's funny how mixed matchup could have been any number. It ended up replicating the best bet, and it was paying 240, but it didn't win in the end. A big upset by Brisbane, a statement by Brisbane. I learned a lot from that game, but I'll talk about that one. Of course, that was Saturday, but we'll talk about all the action that we saw in round 13.
Yeah, we'll get into it right now. I completely agree there with the Warriors. Just really shocking, really disappointing as well by them. But we'll start with Thursday night, where it was the Dolphins hosting the Dragons. Final score in this one was 26-12 with the Dolphins getting up. My MVP for this one, I actually went Anthony Milford. I thought he was just unbelievable in defense in particular. Then you've got to give a shout out to Jermaine Asako at a double in his 100th. And on the other side of the coin, Jacob Liddell from the Dragons with the try assist and 53 tackles. Got to admit, Winnie, this game pretty much went to script for me. It's pretty much how I saw it playing out. Dolphins good enough to get a well-fought victory, but Dragons' effort's going to be there. They're going to fight. They're going to fall short like they have a lot of times realistically this year. It's the midway mark of the season. The Dolphins are in the top 8 and they have a winning record. I would love if I had a time machine to go back to the start of the season and see how many people sort of was predicting that. I got to put my hand up and say I was not predicting that at all. Ultimately, the Dragons do remain last. They've been in a lot of games this year, so maybe there's a silver lining in that long term if you're a Dragons suffering fan, but short term, I can definitely see how it's hard to see that silver lining for now. They dropped to 0-7 in away games. Dolphins moved to 2-2 in Redcliffe. So I want to ask you before we get your thoughts on this game. Dolphins top 8. Rate it, hate it, still not sure for this year.
Gut instinct is they'd fall just out. But I haven't really looked super close at the ladder in the last week or two. You win games like these are the ones you have to win. And the Dolphins missing 3 Origin stars, I talked about before, is concerned Nikarima playing at fullback. The Dragons missing 1 Origin player. Yes, their most important player, but they actually have cover in the spine. So I was fairly impressed by the Dolphins. Didn't have it all their own way. The Dragons got out to a lead early, but the Dolphins just played comprehensive and return serve, got the revenge on the Dragons, who did defeat the Dolphins by, I think it was 20-plus many weeks ago. Making a little bit of a fortress of Morton Daly Stadium too. The Dolphins haven't lost a game there yet. And how good is it? Both our teams getting the 2 points this week, Clarkie.
Well, mine didn't have to fight for it like yours did. And yeah, you're right about that stadium, Morton Daly. Now KO Stadium, I believe. It's an awesome league club. You'd love to be there after a Dolphins win, that's for sure. Move on to Friday night. It was the Eels defeating the North Queensland Cowboys 24-16. Went with Dylan Brown as my MVP in this one. Not so much for his attack like you typically would a half. It was actually his defense. He had some key tackles in that game and ended up finishing the game with 37, which is a lot for a half. It's probably one of the highest figures this year. Don't think this score of 24-16 really accurately represents this game. I thought for a lot of it, the Eels were in front. But by the same token, they never really put the game to bed, and they kind of left this the door open for this to occur with Cowboys scoring those tries late. Really impressed with Wiremu Greg and Jermaine Hopgood. They had to step up with Madison, JP, RCG, all the big names gone, and they did. I thought they were brilliant in the middle. And Cowboys, on the other hand, they had some brilliant moments, but I think the issue was those brilliant moments weren't coming from the team. They were coming from individuals. I'm talking Robson's line break, Drinky's try assist, et cetera, et cetera. And they've still got great players across the park, Cowboys, but they're just not quite united as a team and playing as a team. The effort was there, no doubting that, but there's just inconsistencies in their attention to detail. And I think that comes from the fact they're not quite playing as a unit. Halfway point for the Eels. Their halves are in form, both re-signed long-term. You think they're going to make a push for the eight? Then I don't think they're in it at the moment. You see them as a final side still?
Yeah, I think on their best day, and we've spoken about this, they're a top four level team. They were pretty competitive with Brisbane, and of course they've beaten South and they've beaten Penrith. They just had that murderer's row of opponents, lost close games. This was a close game too. The Eels scored a try very late to extend the margin to eight. They were only up 2 points before that moment, so they had to sweat a little bit. It's funny, isn't it? Parramatta, a week ago, they're beating top of the ladder by 20 points. The Cowboys are getting absolutely embarrassed to the tune of 66 put on them. A week later, it's 6-6 at halftime, you know, between these sides. And the Cowboys lost more players to Origin than Parramatta. But as you say, this is the kind of weeks where it's those second-tier players have to step up. And I thought that the Parramatta middles, Wira McGregor, as you mentioned, was doing a Paulo impersonation. And Dylan Brown, glad you mentioned that, because arguably his tackle on Townsend wins the match, you know, because as I say, they're only up two late. That was a certain try. And it makes me think, does any half in the competition make as many try-saving or covering tackles as Dylan Brown? He's unreal. The way he stays in the game and the way he stuck that tackle too, because the Cowboys were making a surge and really would have threatened Parramatta in this one. So for North Queensland, you don't get many moral victories. It was 10 times, 100 times better performance than a week ago against another Western Sydney opponent, but it's still another loss. It's a hole that the Cowboys are going to have to climb out of. Parramatta were kind of soul-searching a few weeks ago, but they seem to have turned the corner now. As I said, I think I said about 10 days ago, they had to win a couple of games we didn't expect, like the Bunnies game, and they also had to take care of business in the ones we do expect. And Parramatta was 15.5-point favourite in this. So they had to get the result. It would have been a crisis if they didn't. And they did enough to win. Only disappointment out of this game is Gutho did not score, which was your take on Toppy. I went with you. And I know people hate to say this, but I can't help it. I was between Gutho and Russell, and I thought, nah, go on Gutho as well as Clarkie. In the end, Russell just about scored three. One of them did count. And in my same gamer, the other legs won. So both teams to score 10 I had, or 10 plus, under 50.5 points, and Parramatta win. So it's like, I can't pick a try scorer that's definitely going to score every week. If I could do that, I'd just share it as a single, you know. So I feel like I've picked a try scorer most of these multis that's got up. This was one of the few weeks I didn't get the try scorer, and then that was the only leg. We would have had Gutho, you know, at $7 or whatever to score. Thought we had a chance at the end. It was Moses who got the last try. Gutho, a nice hand in a couple of backline sweeping plays that ended up in tries to Sivo and Russell. So it wasn't to be for the same gamer again. As the comments, I notice there's a comment there saying Dolphins will make the eight. So I always appreciate people's feedback and let us know what you thought from the round of footy. So what other people reckon about the Dolphins? They're going to make the eight. Is Parramatta going to make the eight? I'd love to hear what you guys reckon or anything else you took away from the weekend of footy.
Yeah, it's always super interesting. And, you know, as far as try scorers go, I feel like that's where we're really getting our value, which I know is one of the punting commandments for these better Friday same game multis. And Sean Russell is someone that I know we've spoken about to each other multiple times now. So disappointed we have missed him the last fortnight. But yeah, I think the biggest thing that sums up that game is what you said to me when we were doing our previews and recaps for the World Cup last year. A week is a long time in footy because if these two sides played last week with the form they did, it would have been 100-0 to the Eels, just being absolutely realistic. But a week is a long time in footy, and what you get as a result like this, which is somewhat unexpected, you would say, with the line for that one set at I think minus 15 and a half for the Eels.
You That's were saying. Right.
Perfect. Yeah, so we'll pause the show now, guys. We're going to hear from Tristan Merlihan, the CEO of TopSport. He's got an exclusive market insight for us.
Sorry, I'm scrambling to dig it up, but here it is. Tristan Tommy's on his way to Adelaide. So I know that's all any of us can think about is the game that's going to take place in Adelaide. But we wanted to know how the bookies went in round 13. Let's have a listen.
G'day everyone, Tristan Merlihan here from TopSport. And there were a few surprises on the weekend just gone. This round is traditionally a bit of a tricky weekend from our perspective when you've got some of the lesser names coming in to fill some of the Origin teammates' spots. And traditionally you see some rough results or the punters really getting themselves on the right wavelength in terms of where those market moves go. But this weekend was probably a little bit different. The Dolphins-Dragons game, that sort of went according to script where the Dolphins were backed reasonably well, close to jump, and they covered the line. The Eels were expected to cover, but the Cowboys put in a much better effort on the back of their performance last weekend. But probably the biggest surprise was the Warriors against the baby Broncos, where the Broncos got away with a result with some amazing defence. That was by far and away our best result for the weekend. The Warriors were pretty unlucky, but the Broncos, you just got to give them credit for the way they're defending week in, week out now, no matter who's in that lineup. So that one got us off to a good start. And then funnily enough, I actually thought, say Thursday, Friday, even Saturday daytime, if the Raiders had have won, we would have had a good winning result on that last game. But late, there was a real strong push with us for the Raiders, and that actually meant that that was our worst result of the weekend. So, but all in all, we did get our nose in front. We're doing this just after halftime in the Manly Knights game, where there has been a push for the Knights in that game as well. So we'll see how that one ends up. Hope you're back to winner over the weekend. Obviously, we got Origin not far away, which is going to be a really epic match, I suspect. Good luck, guys.
Perfect. Thank you to Tristan for providing that exclusive market insight there. And he touched on the game we're going to cover next, being the Warriors and Broncos game. And I think this one would have been a multi-killer for a lot of people who played
the round. Including ours. And I'm sorry about the audio because we're live. We get a clip sent in. Sometimes it doesn't balance. It might have been a bit quiet for some people. Hopefully you can turn it back down again before I burst your eardrums. But I want to respond to John's comment about how close the competition is. And I've got to say, I love it. Talking about just this time last year, the top eight was separated by 10 points. This year, the top eight is all within 4 points, including six teams on the same number of points. That you've got to love it. And it just means every one of these games is so important. And you talk about this Warriors game. You know, you asked me, Clarkie, will the Dolphins make the eight? And I think they're in the mix. Then you asked Parramatta. I would say, yes, they will. But will New Zealand make the eight? And if they don't, these are the kind of games that they will definitely rue. Bobby says Parramatta will make the eight. Colt agrees. Eels, if they stay fit and healthy, definitely make the eight. And Booney says up the mighty Broncos.
It's a great point. And not only does it keep every game interesting, it brings foreign against into play a lot, which in previous years, it just hasn't really been a factor. I remember there were some seasons when I was growing up watching the footy where, like, you come into the last round and you know this side must win by this much, this side must lose by this much. And that's just a different level of excitement knowing, you know, these facts and figures before the round kicks off. And yeah, I completely agree. I think now you maybe lock five teams into finals. If you went through the competition, you'd probably find five that are absolutely locked in. And then from spots six, seven, and eight, all the way down to maybe like 12 or 13th, you know, coming into those last four rounds could be absolutely crucial for all of them. So it's super exciting footy at the moment. The Warriors hosted the Broncos over in Napier in New Zealand. The final score was 22-26. Broncos get up. My MVP was Adam Reynolds. He kicked over half a kilometer and had the try assist, but I got to give a very special mention to Adam Fanua-Blake. I rarely ever give MVP to someone from a losing side. Think I've only done it once in the past 2 years. I was so close to the AFB. 260 meters, 107 post contact, 29 tackles for zero miss. You can't do much more as a prop. I thought Warriors were arguably the better side over the 80 in this one, but it was just moments of stupidity that really let them down. A couple that really spring to mind is they score, get back into it, knock on off the kickoff. The biggest one that jumps out to me, and I'm not saying this cost them the game because lots of stuff happens throughout an 80 minute, but it cost them an opportunity to win the game. And you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Adam Pompey grabbing the jersey. It's just such a low IQ play. You just have to know that with the bunker and the amount of cameras on the game, you're going to get busted don't do it. I don't know. It's not a natural instinct to grab someone's jersey. I'm sure they're not practicing that training. It's not muscle memory. It's just a low IQ play. That being said, I think my disappointment comes because I really thought Warriors would win here. I thought they'd win big. And I was really excited for that result, actually. I love watching the Warriors when they play exciting, attacking brand of footy. And they weren't really able to do that against the Broncos. So the positive is this was still a great, close, entertaining game. But yeah, midway mark of this season, I'm going to throw another question to you, this time regarding the Broncos. Have you seen enough to put them into that contenders category? I'm talking Panthers, Rabbitohs, those sort of sides that we think could compete for the title. Have you seen enough from the Broncos?
Yes. I don't think they're as good as both those sides, but I think they're going to make the top four. If you make the top four, you know, you're most likely going to be one of the last four standing, and anyone in a prelim can win the comp. And if you're in the top four, what you really want to do is win that first week of the finals, and they'd love to be at Suncorp and have a week off and play the prelim. Brisbane can. And a week like this does really impress me. When you're missing five players, you're five of your best, you're going on a trip to a hostile environment, you're playing a rested side that is really capable in this year. It's funny you said maybe the Warriors had the better of the game. I would agree the Warriors might have played better, had the better of it, but I will also admit that Brisbane probably deserved the win. I'm seeing a few comments like Brisbane are the real deal, and Tristan talked about Brisbane's defense. And in the end, it's a difference in the game. The Warriors, I thought, had the better of the first half. They ended up being down 12-6. Part of it was because when the Warriors finally did score to level up at 6-6, and you know, they'd be happy with that to get in, you know, get in at the break level, considering that they left it late to score. And then you drop the kickoff. As Webster said, dropping the kickoff isn't why you let in 6 points, because they still had a set to defend and couldn't keep Brisbane out. I know other people in the comments will say it was a forward pass from Walters, but I looked at it a couple of times. I thought line ball. In any case,
close.
Brisbane crashes over. Brisbane's first try is a 100-meter streak away. I don't know if you call those intercepts when the Warriors, I think, might have dropped it. So I guess it's just like a pick six, as they say, or a scoop and score, we'll call it, for Brisbane. Like those hurt. They're kind of swings as well because the Warriors were the ones on the attack. So if I'm making excuses for New Zealand, I'm saying 100-meter try by Brisbane. I'm saying Warriors were held up over the line, what, four different times? A couple that ended up being called like knock-ons in goals. So they go to a seven-tackle set because they get done for the grounding or whatever when it would have been a try. And you add it all up and say they lost by 4 points, they should have won. But I think that would be not respecting the performance by Brisbane, the fact that Brisbane still scored four tries in this game. And also, let's not forget the Warriors scored twice in the final 5 minutes. At one stage, the margin between these teams, I think, was 14 points late. So I'm not just going to say one or two moments decides the result for the Warriors. I think, it could have been a different game for sure. But the way I see it is that, and James Graham said the Reynolds factor, like Reynolds, best player on the park, and this makes a big difference. And when you've got a lot of key players out, but you still have elite players that can help you win. I thought Tristan Saylor, unreal performance on club debut for Brisbane. He was immense as well. And they've got other gun players, obviously Farnworth and, Katoni Staggs. Brisbane showing that they've got the depth. But going back to New Zealand, these are just the games you've got to be able to win, and you've got to push it beyond doubt. You can't have the game come down to one moment or one call or one mistake. The Warriors dominated the game through the middle of most of the statistics, but couldn't capitalize and couldn't breach Brisbane's defense enough times and couldn't put the Broncos away. And again, my best bet's -7.5. They don't even win the game outright. Mixed matchup also would have won if the Warriors won 8+. But I'm watching the game just thinking I'm not getting enough out of New Zealand and Brisbane surprising me. So as I say, I think it definitely reaffirmed to me Brisbane is a legit contender. And it raised more questions for the Warriors, because I know a few people in the comments are saying, Jacob, you're not giving the Warriors any love. You're not backing them enough. I just felt like that was the perfect spot to play them. So maybe it's on me. Maybe I just can't read this Warriors team. Because I don't know. I thought at home, off a bye, you're playing an Origin depleted side. You're going to get one of your better performances of the year. And it was one of New Zealand's most mediocre.
And I've got to admit, the comment that you made regarding the score with five to go, if you were sitting on a Broncos 13-plus ticket, God, that would have been paying a handful, and you would have been feeling pretty confident if not for that late flurry there. Went ahead and had a look at the missed tackles while you were talking there. 32 for Warriors, 46 for the Broncos. So New Zealand, they're the better defensive side. You're right, they were held up four times, and the fifth time was when Dallin Watene-Zelezniak put the ball down outside the touchline.
Foot on the line, yep.
Love the comment from James Graham as well. I mean, it's just, I did not give Reynolds enough respect when I was previewing this game. The fact that he is such a veteran, he can lead this side around, that has conceded 113 points the last two times they were without just Carrigan. Then you throw Haas and Flegler into that mix, and Walsh and Cobbo. It's mental what Reynolds was able to do in leading that team around, and full respect to him. Final question before we go into the next game. We've been keeping sort of a little bit of data on the bye rounds. Are we going to include this as a team that played well off the bye, or are we going to put this into a team that did not play well off the bye category?
No, I know what you're saying, because like in some stats, the Warriors actually didn't play too badly, but I would say it's a misfire for sure and one of the more disappointing efforts off the bye this year. And another comment that came in a couple of times about the pitch invasions. Three different occasions fans ran on the field, and these were all like inside the final 10 minutes when the Warriors were trying to mount a comeback each and every time, the game having to be postponed and paused for a longer period of time to get them off the field. And Brisbane's sucking in the big ones and getting to reset their defense. It hurt the Warriors. So I understand the passion, the excitement, because they don't get too many games out there. But and I know it's hard because it's still, you know, individuals that, you know, want to have their moment or whatever. But it hurt the Warriors. It had to be frustrating for New Zealand. Oh, and I wanted to also touch on that final play too, because New Zealand actually thought they'd hit the front for a second. Would have been one of the craziest comebacks ever. As I say, they're down 14 with under 5 minutes to go. I don't want to make Pompey the scapegoat though, because I think if he doesn't pull Dean Mariner's jersey, I actually think Dean Mariner makes the tackle. I think Mariner felt the tug, completely pulled himself out, and even then, who was it? Montoya only just scored, and that was with Mariner deliberately not making a play on him. So I do feel like without the tug, it's probably not a try. But not a good look. Definitely still a brain snap.
Oh, let's be very honest. I completely agree with you there. And, you know, not only for the New Zealand fans is the streaking, was it a bit too far? You guys are in a bidding war right now to win the 2025 Rugby League World Cup. I'm sure the promoters of that tournament are not looking. And, you know, after what we saw in the All-Stars game and this, you know, it might be a small concern for them. Maybe not a massive, but a small. We'll move on to the next Saturday game. It was the Rabbitohs hosting the Raiders. And the Raiders come away with a 33-26 point win. My MVP was Big Papa in this one. But if you've got Joseph Tarpany or Corey Horsburgh as well, I am all ears. Another week that the Rabbitohs middles lose the battle, but Cody Walker still manages to come up with three try assists, which is really impressive for him. He is playing awesome footy this year in a side that was missing some of their best players as well. But I mean, I don't really have anything to recap on this one, Winnie, besides the first point I've got is the Corey Hutter with Oneida incident and just wishing him my full support and recovery. That was like genuinely probably one of the scariest things I think I've ever seen on a footy field, because it wasn't a head injury. It was someone just genuinely collapsing and having a seizure on the field. So super scary stuff. And I was really glad to see that video of Corey today via the Raiders page saying that he's on the mend and he's feeling better, and he'll go through all the sort of protocols and scans and medical specialists to find out what occurred there. My other takeaway is, I'm just going to read you these stats. I mean, you tell me if this is winning the middle. Papali'i, 216 meters, 33 tackles, zero missed. Horsburgh, a try, 45 tackles, zero missed. Joseph Tarpany, 227 meters, 107 post contact, 50 tackles for zero missed. If your middles play like that, 9 times out of 10, you're going to win. There's a footy saying that the forwards decide who wins the game of footy and the backs just decide how much. And the forwards definitely did their job in this contest. Hard not to be impressed with what they did, right?
Especially when the opponent is missing their best middle forward in Cam Murray. Jai Arrow was out as well. You know what? If Queensland don't win the middle on Wednesday night, you know, some people will say, should did Papa hang him up too early, and should Horse have been there? A few players who missed Origin contention scored a try. Maybe that should have been the angle. We should have gone for try scorers. Damian Cook, Horsberg himself had a try. I think there were a couple others over the weekend, players maybe wanting to make a point. In this game, the Raiders got out early, but and we had either team 1 to 10, so I was always cheering for whoever was behind. But luckily, it was a beauty. It was back and forth. It's probably higher scoring than you would have expected, but I thought Souths still looked really sharp in attack because they still had the likes of Cookie, Walker, Ilias actually impressed me, and of course Alex Johnson on the back of that back line, finishing it off, and Taff, we said before, a young player but has played in the grand final and has been blooded. So I thought Souths were gonna come over the top and were gonna grab the 2 points here after I think coming back from a 10-0 deficit. They did hit the front late. And speaking of Haro and Ira, of course, in fact, we would have probably opened the show with this, and it would be a much different perspective and angle on this if not for such positive news. So it's so relieving to hear, because you were sick watching it last night. It was so frightening because it came out of nowhere. Like, I saw a player went down and I couldn't figure out who it was. Then they said Naira, but then I've got the, the Foxtel IQ thing, rewinding it, having a look. He actually took 2 hit ups in that set, and he takes the 3rd or 4th hit up of the set, and doesn't kind of carry on with the play, walks away. Like, at that time, he obviously just didn't feel right, but he still didn't go down or anything. And then you see the images and it's obviously terrifying. So to see that, he's recovering from that, that means everything, because it just, moments like that just remind you, we make these games out to be life and death, but there's so many more things that are more important. It was a critical moment too. I think the Raiders were trying to hold on to a 2-point lead at the time, and in that same moment where CHN collapsed, the Bunnies were actually challenging a play which they ended up winning and turning a dropout into a penalty. So for the Raiders to maintain their composure and hang in the game and ultimately close it out, pretty impressive. Impressive, because Souths are at home here, didn't lose as many to Origin as most of us expected. And after the Raiders were so disappointing against Manly, this got them right back on track, showed what they're made of. And I think the Raiders, when you said there's 5 teams that'll definitely make the 8, you're probably not counting Canberra, but in my mind, I think they also will definitely be playing finals footy.
I think they'll compete as well. Other takeaways from this game, I suppose, Jordan Rapana, 2 weeks in a row, I've offered him as an anytime try scorer for that 100th. It's an elusive number. He hasn't got it. Could third time be a charm? The other thing I wanted to take a look at was the post-contact meters. Got Raiders at 607. The Bunnies only about 450. But the stat that really surprised me was the Rabbitohs only made 11 tackle breaks, but they completed at 89%. Usually that's a complete different number for them. They make the tackle breaks, they have the exciting plays, but it sort of costs them a little bit in the completion department. And then I guess my final takeaway was Damian Cook. I think he only took 2 runs all night. It's clear that's what Freddie wants to see. He wants an attacking hooker in Origin. So I thought Cookie maybe missed a trick there with not getting out. But you do wonder, if was that a result of him not winning the middle? The opportunity just wasn't there for him.
I think so.
Not too sure, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from Cookie if it was possible. But that could have been how the game felt out there. We close out the round with the Knights hosting the Seagulls up there in Newcastle. The final score was 28-18. The Knights record a victory. My MVP was Greg Marzu. I thought Dominic Young would be the key try scorer in this game again. He only had the 1. Marzu a hat trick this time. So there's just something about Knights wingers and versing Manly this year. I feel like in the first 20 minutes here, the Knights probably had the wrong attitude. They kind of looked like a side that knew they were big favourites and they just expected a rollout to their home stadium, and it just happened. And it really didn't. Then they got their first try, and from there you could see them start to build and recompose themselves. I think confidence is good, but not on its own. You still got to have that level of detail and intent about what you're doing on the field there. 24-18 with 5 to go, and then Dominic Young goes the field, goes 100 metres, I think it was. And at that point you knew the game was, really it was in bed then. I was probably looking for a little bit more from Kalen Ponga and Dane Gagai as well. So much so, I wouldn't have mind offering them as anytime try scorers prior to the game as well. And that just goes back to the recap where I make the bold prediction that a Manly side without Jake and Tom Trbojevic and DCE is not NRL standard. Very, very bold, I get it. But they probably proved me wrong in that regard. This one was closer than I believe it should have been. Question for you. Knights, they've got 5 wins, 1 draw, 6 losses. Now, I know you were keen on them on the preseason. So did you expect that record to be a little bit better, a little bit worse, or probably about where you thought they'd be?
Well, I probably thought they could even be better at this point. But when you factor in all the injuries and suspensions, they still have done pretty well. They're still in the mix to maybe make the 8. And they've had a little bit of luck in having less players than expected be selected for Origin. And in a game like today, it's another one you absolutely have to win. You have to take care of business. And while they did ultimately score 6 tries to 3, they didn't hit the front until like under 15 minutes to go when it was 14-all. And then I can't remember, was it probably was Marzu, the Marzu try that got him in front. Was that to get him in front? 18-14. And that was once Kola was sin bin. But that was the critical moment there. Kola sin bin, 15 to go. Look, he's putting a hit on Ponga at the moment. Ponga is catching the ball, but he's kind of leading with the shoulder and it's high contact, so not too debatable there. Before that, Manly had led the entirety of the game. Manly led at halftime, and you're right, gave the Knights a bit of a scare. And I will just refer back to Wednesday night too. This is where having your discipline does make the difference, because I liked the Knights in this game. I liked the spot for them and I expected them to win comfortably. And I said, single-digit line, it was a best bet, but just becoming that line getting to 10.5, I couldn't play it. Wow. So I looked on Wednesday. If I could get -9.5, I play it. Yeah, and that would have won. Couldn't get 9.5, so I stayed off. Even though part of me was like, maybe I should have just played 10.5. It felt too high, but Knights will probably win by more than that. And as I said before, they scored 3 more tries than their opponents, so they should have probably won by more than 10. But goal kicking again, it didn't end up costing them. But the cover came down to Hastings' final kick of the night, and he missed yet another one. As I can hear some awful crackling going on, but it doesn't really matter because we're about to wrap this up and reconvene on Tuesday night and talk Origin, which is all anyone wants to hear about from now on.
Absolutely, I mean, if people want to back up that 9.5 line, definitely. I remember asking you that in the previous show. How close were you? And you said if it was 9.5, I would have taken it as well. Final observation for Manly before we get out of here. One line break and only the 19 tackle breaks. Probably just didn't have that creativity they usually have with the Turbo boys there and DCE. So, yeah, a tough loss for Manly there. But, yeah, as Winnie said, I'm sure everyone is much more excited for this one. Tuesday, 6:30 p.m., our live State of Origin Game 1 preview. We'll have bets. We'll break down all the action. We'll take a look at both teams' sides, see where their strengths, weaknesses, etc. And then we'll be back Thursday following Origin to preview round 14 of the NRL season. But with that, we leave you goodbye. Thank you very much for being here with us tonight, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed our recap of round 13. We appreciate you.
Lego.